This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The Atlanta Falcons select Michael Penix Jr.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
What has Raheem Morris told you about Michael Penix's role?
The message to me was just, nothing changes for you. Just go to work and do your job.
Earlier on the show, host of the Pat McAfee Show, Pat McAfee, Apple TV MLS analyst, Sasha Kljestan, host of the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz, Dan Le Batard. Coming up, Super Bowl champion quarterback, Drew Bledsoe. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Man, what a show we've been having.
And we're on one right now.
You know what I should say? I should say that every show, because if I don't say that every show, maybe we're not having a great show.
Maybe somebody thinks the show's bad because you didn't say it.
That's true.
The best thing about us, though, is it's about us.
Tell Tufo when he's on, he's
on. How's it going?
He'll get handled when he gets handled.
Oh, good. Very good.
I love him. I love that drop. That's my favorite drop.
Right? Is that right? That's your new favorite drop?
That, every day I switch. I switch up.
Oh, you switch.
I switch up.
It's like Mickey Mantle of drops. Switch it.
Go from both sides.
Very good.
Here, Coach.
Great show so far.
Wow.
We simulcast with Pat McAfee.
That was awesome. One. That was so cool.
That's fun. That's got to be like once a month, something like that.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it was fun. It worked out well. The technological aspect of it. It was funny. Pat, at one point during the end, he goes, he didn't know how it was going to work.
Yeah,
no, I mean,
we just hit buttons.
We tried it out, before we left for.
Yeah, we tested it.
Yes, you were completely blind flying into it.
I mean, you know.
You don't know.
You don't know.
Because I'm here. You have no idea.
Listen, for you,
in 2 seconds.
So we did that hour one. Hour number two, we just said goodbye to Dan Le Batard as well. Did he reference our simulcast by saying, thanks for having me on the program?
I believe so.
I heard that. 100%. I picked up on that. If you missed it, don't you dare worry. We re-air on the Rich Eisen Show channel. We got our own fast channel, people. We're live right now on the Roku Sports channel, where we have a couple of re-airs on that as well. We're on the air every single day after Good Morning Football overtime. I always loved listening to Dan Patrick do that in his highlights.
Yeah.
Overtime. So, long story short, we've had a fun show. 844-204-RICH number. Drew Bledsoe is going to be joining us shortly.
All right.
On this. I like that you agree with it. It is. You're excited. Bledsoe is your guy, right?
I mean, I do.
He was the guy.
It was great. When I moved to Maine that year, he was the starting quarterback. That was the year they got drafted.
94?
93.
Okay.
And we had some fun times watching him slinging around. I mean, Ben Coates and
Ben Coach. Winter Coates.
Troy Brown in the early days.
You know,
it was a good time.
I'll ask him his first conversation with Parcells, because you never know. Willie McGinnis will tell you he had no idea that the Patriots were going to draft him. None. Zero.
Really was, what, that fourth he never, or fifth overall,
that he
I think
never
that
spoke
year?
To him at the combine.
Yeah.
Never spoke to him. So.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It is crazy.
That's crazy.
Drew Bledsoe, and we'll ask him about Drake May, any advice for him and things of that nature. 844-204-RICH. Number to dial. Ricardo in San Francisco is here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Ricardo?
What do we got? Hey, Rich. First time caller. Great to be on the program.
Where you been? Ricardo, honestly, when first-time callers, always appreciate first-time callers. Where you been? We've been around for a while.
You got it. So I'm a lifelong Dolphins fan. I actually grew up in Montreal watching Jets games, and I became a Dolphins fan. But anyways, a little bit hard.
So you became a Dolphin fan through watching Jet games in Canada. Is that what I understand? Did I just hear
that? Exactly, because it was the Plattsburgh, New York affiliate, and they showed all the Jets and Giants games.
Yeah, and you were smart enough to like the Dolphins after saying, very good. Okay, so what's on your mind?
Missed all the great Super Bowl teams, kind of became a fan probably 40-something years ago.
Okay.
Le Batard, that comparison with Purdy. Hey, put Tyreek and Jalen Waddle on the 49ers, and believe me, Purdy passes for 5,000 yards. Probably 35 plus.
Well, I don't think he was saying, I think Dan was saying if you took Purdy's and Tua's numbers and removed the names and the jerseys, the laundry, as Seinfeld would call it, from the equation, would you think both guys are elite top five quarterbacks? And so he was actually equating their numbers, I think, but equating the two of them, comparing the two of them as being denigrated by many. because of, for whatever reason, that they're products of the sum of their parts, or in my estimation, just the way that they're born into the National Football League fandom consciousness. You know, Purdy was the last pick in the draft. He had to be the last pick. You know, he can't be an elite quarterback if you're passed up 354 times. You know what I mean? So, including by the team that drafted you. I think that's what he meant.
So, couple of points about Tua. Basically, you know the expression, liquid courage. I think he's got contract courage. Now he's got
maybe
the FU money. He can say whatever he wants.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of coaches are going to be we're listening to that and wondering, like, what's his deal? Would I really want a guy like that on my team if he's going to rat me out somewhere down the line? But that being said, I never thought I would say here the day where Joe Shane looks like a genius for the contract he signed Daniel Jones to versus what Chris Greer committed to with Tua. But my prediction, we'll not see a road playoff win for the next 4 years with the Dolphins. I don't see that happening.
This is you're saying you're a Dolphin fan, huh? Is that what you're saying? You're a Dolphin. Okay.
Sir, I'm totally one, and I'd love to see them win the Super Bowl. I don't see even a playoff win on the road with Tua.
Okay, QB. Carter. No, I appreciate the 2 cents right there.
They may not have to go on the road.
Well, I mean, even Mahomes finally went on the road.
Right.
I don't know, man.
I think what Levitard was saying was like, look. There's a general feeling that Purdy and Tua are products of great coaches, superstars around them at every single position. So basically all they're doing is just kind of put the ball here, run after catch. I'd be interested to see those numbers, but that's what I felt like Dan was saying.
No, I know I said that they need home field advantage in order to, more than any other team.
I don't think that's...
Right, because the other places... The entire AFC North plays outdoors, and it's cold. The AFC West, they went to the one spot. Well, two of the teams, it's pretty damn cold. Mm. One is indoors, two are indoors, and two spots are pretty damn cold. The AFC South, you don't have to, I mean, Tennessee can get cold.
Oh, yeah.
So, my only point is that it's possible they might end up. What if they have to face the Chargers in a playoff game here in LA?
That's what I said yesterday.
You concerned about it?
No, because it'll be 80% Dolphin fans.
Well, is that I don't. Well,
so they don't hold have
on a
minute.
Hold on a second. Let's see how the Los Angeles changes. Sports fan for the Chargers changes with Harbaugh here, and if he pluses him up, and we'll see. We'll see. We will see.
They start. Yep, I agree with that.
We will see. Plus, the bottom line is the two of you don't have Charger season tickets. You just sell your tickets for the Rams.
I only had them a couple years.
They don't have to worry about you two.
I have been to a preseason game 2 years in a row.
Nice.
Okay.
I gave my tickets to
more games than they have.
You know what we need to do? We maybe need to do one day is put up the Rams' home schedule, not their full schedule.
Oh, yeah,
and I'll do not the win loss game, but
games are going to sell.
No, just like
sell or
go.
Can we do that now?
We'll do a sell or go. We don't have the graphic of just their home.
Sell or go.
Sell or go.
I like this.
And what you and I,
I'm into this.
You and I, no TJ, they can only sit here and listen to the two of us spitball.
Yeah, I like that. Should I stay or should I go?
Sell or go.
Should I
sell
stay?
Or go? And we'll predict sell or go, and we'll see by the end of the season if we were right. How's that for an idea?
You know I love a pricing
game. Great. So let's get the Rams' home schedule.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray, run amok, and flat out deceived.
I'm offended at this.
By the way, I still love that soundbite. That was based on him reacting to the Knicks drafting Porzingis.
Sorry, Rich. You need to refer to him now as NBA champion Kristaps Porzingis.
No, my bad.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. Get that right.
God.
My bad. Did you see Portnoy's response to Steve Kerr showing up at the DNC?
Did it have to do with potato playing time?
It basically said something. Yeah, it had to do with potato playing time.
Nice.
It was funny.
That was my response, too.
It was funny. Steve in Melbourne, Florida. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Steve?
Melbourne,
Australia. Hey, guys. How you doing today?
What's on your mind, Steve?
I heard the discussion yesterday, and I started thinking about the rookie class this year, and it got me thinking, and it has to do with the head coaches. I mean, you guys have been on talking about, hey, you know, offensive head coaches, usually history shows they have more success and everything. And take J.J. McCarthy out of it just because he's not playing this year because he got hurt. But out of the five remaining coaches, Pitts, who I think is going to be really good this year, they're all defensive head coaches. Flus, Quinn, Mayo, Morris, they're all defensive-minded coaches.
I know, and I know I kind of slagged on defensive coaches, and I'm not saying they can't win at all. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that if I owned an NFL team and I had to choose a head coach, I would really have to – I'd have to have my arm twisted to hire somebody who isn't directly involved hip to hip with the development of my quarterback. Now, can I have somebody like Saleh run the defense while Aaron Rodgers shows up to run the offense? Yeah, I can do that.
Well, even with the offensive minded head coach, Aaron Rodgers ain't going to listen. But
I missed that chapter of Ian O'Connor's book.
But I'm just saying, like, history shows that, like, Pat Mahomes, there's no argument, best NFL quarterback in the league right now. But would he be the same Pat Mahomes we all know and love without Andy Reid?
Well, I mean, again, we can have these conversations too, you know. And thanks, Steve. I appreciate the call. Thanks for the food for thought here. And again, I know what I say is totally nuts because, you know, I love Tomlin. Okay. Belichick is known for defense and special teams. And look what happened with Brady.
Yeah, but it's not like they didn't meet or have meetings.
I understand that. And plus, I just need to know that my head coach has a full-on, plugged-in, 100% relationship with the quarterback. And usually it would be helpful that that's their, if you will, side of the ball of their expertise.
Yeah, I would only hire enough.
But again, you know, Belichick clearly knows offense pretty damn well. And but towards once Brady was gone,
wasn't great.
And then McDaniel. So if you have somebody who's really talented at the offensive coordinator, that's the reason why I would have an issue with hiring a defensive-minded head coach, is because if you have the right assistant to foster your young quarterback, that person is most likely going to leave, right? That person might get a new head coaching job. That's the issue. Once McDaniels left, what happened with Mac Jones? I know we could cherry pick other instances where that doesn't happen.
Sure, but McDaniels was also a terrible head coach.
Yeah.
So, you know, those duties would spread out over the CEO position, which you can't really hone in like you were as just a coordinator.
Again, which is why, you know, I said something that makes it a very cookie cutter conversation when clearly it's not.
Yeah.
Clearly it's not. And if you do have a defensive-minded head coach, you know, you got to throw your arm around the kid, man. This is a conversation that's born out of the whole Flores Tua situation. But not everyone's like that either.
Yeah, I wonder if more of it has to do with just the age of these kids now coming up and how they grew up, and it wasn't in your face coaching your whole life.
But you can't just say that about Tua. It was Nick Saban was his college coach. Yeah. Come on.
But clearly he needed hugs the whole time.
But
his college career, you would label Tua's college career, aside from the one throw, a disappointment, wouldn't you?
I would say it took a while for him to get a shot. And I think he had a pretty damn good career there outside of his getting injured. I mean, listen,
supposed to win multiple Heisman trophies.
The number of evaluators were talking about how special and insanely talented he was. I lost track, which is why when you, from that chair, the year before the draft, where he was drafted, and you were saying there were mock drafts saying Joe Burrow was going
like,
to be the first.
Crazy?
And that was before Joe got, I think, 40 of his last 60 touchdown passes in.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? That's nuts. Because all I was hearing is Tua's going number one overall, and it wound up being Burrow.
But all the expectations, all the thoughts coming in.
And that's why a lot of people think he's not the right guy.
He didn't win a Heisman Trophy.
Right. These are all the reasons why everyone's like, good luck paying him $55
million. Yeah.
Let's take a break. Drew Bledsoe will join us next, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. His thoughts on Drake May and his development plan in New England. And maybe we'll talk about the roast, too. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle? You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts. The Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate. A pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need, plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches. Okay, I have two residual checks left. Oh, hit it, hit it,
on,
hit
give
it.
Give me a second.
Oh, my God, what happened, Mike?
Pay that man his money.
I went to the music.
Sorry, Mike, you know, you're not perfect. You're not perfect.
I told you I was going to.
That's not our Emmy moment. All right, envelope one or two? Envelope one or two? Two. Envelope two.
Utah.
Uh-oh, it is a pink invoice.
Is that international?
That means it's international.
Nice. Oh. These are usually a little higher.
It's going around the globe.
Yeah.
It's in dollars. It's in dollars. Oh, wait a minute. It is for four different things here. 22 Jump Street.
Ooh.
CSI Miami Caged, CSI Miami Deep Freeze, Leatherheads, and That's My Boy.
That's my boy.
Leatherheads,
so
that you got,
Sandler,
Leatherheads you got cut out of?
Yes, because George Clooney and Grant Heslov, Mike's his brother.
Yes.
And so they asked me to do a voiceover, and then I wound up sounding too contemporary.
Oh.
Anyway, these are all people from Switzerland who have viewed these.
Whoa.
So it's a Switzerland residual,
whoa.
Rich. Put
small
all
country,
five of those pop culture
that.
Projects together. And what do you have, Chris?
$8.34.
All right. Mike?
$11.50.
TJ Jefferson.
I'll go with $11.51.
Oh, $11.51.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. This is a savvy player, and he's a winner. The actual retail check is for, it is $13.80.
Oh, my music. Close.
Man,
TJ won. You won on this. You
honestly,
won.
I was
going
to say 13.
It just goes to show you the latest example of TJ Jefferson's knowledge is he's plugged into the Switzerland audience.
Yeah. I love Swiss Miss.
You know what?
Swiss Miss.
Good one. Well done.
Wow.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. He's a Patriot Hall of Famer, and he was a Hall of Fame roaster and the roast of Tom Brady back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Drew Bledsoe, how are you, Drew?
I'm doing great, Rich. Man, it's good to catch up with you.
It was. I didn't see you the night of the roast. You know, we were in the same building, and I'm wondering how many people stop you for that over the last few months, Drew.
You know, it's pretty interesting. That thing became a much bigger phenomenon than I think anybody had anticipated. you know, just random people that, you know, maybe didn't even know who I was before, all of a sudden be riding by on a bicycle, like, hey, great job on the roast. Like, all right, thanks, man. So it was a bit of a phenomenon, and I'm glad I didn't fall flat on my face.
You definitely didn't do that, man. You definitely didn't. Who did you workshop your lines with?
They had some riders that helped work with us. I threw a bunch of material at them, and they kind of helped me as much as anything. They helped organize everything and put it in the right sequence, which was really helpful. The one thing they did that I really appreciate, I didn't know if it was appropriate to throw in stuff about our wine business. The writers were the ones that came up with those bits. And I was like, oh, cool. Well, I guess it's cool to promote our biz, up there. So that was great. And then I got some good run throughs with my wife and my kids because they were very nervous. They were pretty concerned that I was going to embarrass them. All they hear from me are bad dad jokes and inappropriate comments at inappropriate times. So they were worried about me. So they made me run through the material with them a few times.
Wait a minute. How old are your kids?
26 down to 21.
Okay. Okay. All right. Because normally you're putting the kids to bed for the Brady roast. The kids need to be in a different, forget about bed. Oh, they need to be in a different area code for the Brady roast.
Yeah. My niece, who I think is 13, uh-oh, watched it live with my wife and my sister-in-law. And my sister-in-law was really funny. She's like, Molly, why are you laughing? You don't know what that means. She goes, Mom, I have a phone. I know what that means. You know, you can't shield them too much, I guess.
I have a phone. That's funny. Oh, my gosh. It just, I'll be honest with you, Drew, you know, not to get too deep, but screw it. I felt like I was watching, you know, with you and Brady and you and Belichick. And Gronk and Belichick and Edelman and Belichick and the two of them with Brady and Randy Moss in there as well. I kind of felt like I was watching a Patriots therapy session where it was a safe space, and you got some stuff off your chest and a bunch of people got some stuff off their chest that night.
Yeah, you know, I think that's accurate. You know, I think there was some catharsis to it, I guess it would be the right way to put it, where, you know, I just have always felt like, you know, if you can get to a point where you can laugh about something, then that's a very healing thing. So I got to take some digs at Tommy and some digs at Belichick and I think there was, if you're going to psychoanalyze it, there was some healing that happened during that because we got to laugh at each other a little bit. I think that's a good thing.
And taking it one step further, I think it made the Brady Patriots induction night in Gillette completely free of any awkwardness. It was completely free because of the roast got it all out of the way. And nobody's sitting there going, oh, Belichick's back. There's Kraft. He's in Gillette. Or, oh, everybody's together again. It was basically about, you know, the red jacket that night. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, I think that's right. I hadn't really thought about that piece of it, Rich. Because we'd had a good laugh, then when they did the induction, that there wasn't the awkwardness that might have been present, for that special night for Tom, in New England. So I think you're right. I think it did. You know, look, the other thing that I really appreciated about the roast, if we're going to go a little deeper on that.
Sure.
It was so cool because there was no backlash for any of this stuff. Nobody got canceled coming out of it. And it was like, oh, okay. It's okay to laugh about stuff again. And I think that's an important thing. You know, we got into this rut for a while where if anybody said something that wasn't totally PC, then they were canceled. Forever, you know, I really have felt, and it was true in an NFL locker room, and it's true in life. I think, you know, if you get to a point where you can laugh at the hard stuff, that's a really healing thing, and people understand that, hey, you know, it's okay to laugh about the hard stuff. I think we kind of got back to that. So I think it was actually kind of a culturally important show, you know, in some ways, because we're like, okay, yeah, it's okay to laugh at this stuff. Even if it is pretty serious and sometimes hard.
I'm totally with you. Absolutely with you. Drew Bledsoe here on the Rich Eisen Show, hitting the way back machine even further. First time you ever had a conversation with Bill Parcells. When was that, Drew?
First time I ever had a conversation with Bill Parcells was at the scouting combine in Indianapolis. I was still 20, I think, when I met him, because I turned 21 at the scouting combine. Me and Alex Van Pelt, now the OC for the Patriots, spent my 21st birthday at Hooters in Indianapolis, just for the wings, of course. The first time I met Parcells, I was still 20 years old, and I went up to meet with him in his hotel room, like one-on-one, right? So it was kind of like a little bit like you're going to meet the Godfather, you know. Yes. And it's just two of us talking one-on-one. Here's, you know, big Jersey Bill, and I'm this small town kid from Walla Walla, Washington. I got to sit down with him and try to be impressive so that he'll take me with the first overall pick. It was a pretty intimidating moment, for sure. And I don't recall exactly what we talked about. I think we talked football, a little life, a little bit about other stuff that I was into. Apparently I did okay in the interview, so because he still picked me with the first pick.
But, what's your favorite? What's your favorite Parcells story, Drew?
Oh man, well he was a really funny guy as long as he wasn't talking to you. I just remember, my rookie year, he was such a pain in the ass because he would stand, during team drills, he would stand right behind the offense, like right by my setup point, and I would drop back and he would stand behind me and go, throw it. And so it's like somebody yelling at you in the middle of your golf swing, you're trying to, trying to do this thing, and he's yelling at you the whole time. And so, whether it was intentional or not, it made game days a lot easier because he had to be at least 35 yards away from me. So I look forward to game days mostly because I didn't have to deal with him when I was in the middle of a play.
I'm sure he was screaming that on the sideline, though. I'm sure he was screaming the same thing.
Oh, of course, but he was all the way over there. I could just pretend like I didn't hear him.
And then, of course, the Super Bowl when you played in, it was the general sense. I just remembered. I was on SportsCenter at the time covering this whole thing. That he was gone. There was no question he was gone. Did you know that the Super Bowl that you played?
Yeah, and that was the one thing that was disappointing about that situation, Rich, is that we were the underdogs. We were not supposed to be there. The story should have been about this amazing run that we made to get to the Super Bowl. Instead, the storyline the whole week that we all had to answer for was whether or not Parcells was going to the Jets, which was not a very closely kept secret, certainly back then. I can't imagine what it would be like today with all the different outlets that are out there today. But it was, I just remember that being disappointing. It's like, why can't we talk about the fact that this team that was not supposed to even make the playoffs is in the Super Bowl? Why can't we talk about that, rather than talking about where our coach is going to be next year? So that part kind of sucked. And then of course I had to deal with Reggie White on Super Bowl Sunday. Mm-hmm. And that part sucked as well too. Love you, Reggie, but it was not enjoyable to play against Reggie.
Drew Bledsoe here on the Rich Eisen Show. And we'll talk about NFL kickoff in a moment. You mentioned Alex Van Pelt moments ago. You go way back with the current OC in New England, and it's just a whole new day. First of all, the fact that the guy who is coordinating the offense actually has a title, right? And there's that's it for starters. But we all know that it's a whole new situation there, and he has. To call Drake May a mold of clay is quite, an image. But that said, this is a huge moment. Certainly when Mac Jones, as the narrative goes, didn't have over the last couple of years the best setup. Do you think Alex Van Pelt is a good setup for Jerod Mayo with Drake May clearly the future, Drew?
Yeah, I really think I've liked what the Patriots have done. Start with Jerod. I think he's a really special dude and is going to be a great coach. I got to spend a bunch of time with him. We went on a trip together. Mr. Kraft took us to Israel, and both Jerod and I were on that trip. I got to spend a week with him. He's he's almost like a Bond villain. You know, he's an NFL linebacker, but in, you know, so he's got that physique. But in high school, he was a white hat hacker. So he would go, he was a computer nerd. So he'd go break into companies, and then he would tell them how he broke in so they could go fix their problem. So you take an NFL linebacker body and you've got a computer nerd brain, you know, he's sort of a, sort of like a superhero or Bond villain kind of dude. And he's a great guy. The players all love him. So you start there. And then Alex understands, you know, coaching quarterbacks in a way that I think you can only understand if you played the position. And Alex, you know, I make fun of him all the time. And I tell his guys whenever I'm in there, one of their meetings, you need to listen to this guy. Because here's this 6 foot fat dude that doesn't throw it very hard that played for 11 seasons in the NFL. He obviously didn't do it based on his physical tools. He did it with his brain. And I think Alex is also really good at understanding, you know, how to set quarterbacks up for success. You know, meaning, you know, you don't just have your offense and that quarterback has to fit the mold. You take the quarterback that you have and then you build the offense to suit him. And I know that Alex will do a great job of that. I don't think we still know, you know, who's going to be under center first game, whether that's going to be Jacoby or whether it's going to be Drake. But I think that you know, Alex is going to give Drake May his best chance for success, whether that's immediately or whether that's in the future.
Well, what is your opinion on the throwing somebody in the deep end of the pool right away? I mean, at Cincinnati, that is not for the faint of heart. What do you think about
that?
That's
not an easy way to start. You know, it's such an individual decision, right? You know, it's about looking at your guy and is he ready to do that yet? Some guys are, and some guys need some time. And then you also have to look at your team. You know, is your team in a place that sets this quarterback up for success as a young guy? You know, for me, I felt like I was ready. And obviously Parcells felt like I was ready. So I started the first game. You know, we had to go play at the Bills, which at that time, that was a very daunting task because they had just come off their third or four straight Super Bowls. You know, so I remember being terrified, you know, seeing Bruce Smith come out of the tunnel. I was warming up like, man, I don't belong here. I just watched that guy play in the Super Bowl from my dorm room, you know, about like 4 or 5 months ago. But I felt like I was ready for it. And so it's a highly personal thing. And I know that, again, you know, back to Alex, I know that Alex will make the best decision both for Drake and for the team, you know, going into that game. And if he feels like Drake is ready and gives the team the best chance to win and also can set him up for success in the future, then he'll be under center for that first game. If he's not ready and the team's not ready around him to give him some chance of success, you know, then they'll let him sit and let the veteran play.
Yeah, Marshall Faulk once told me a story, Drew, of going to Rich Stadium in Western New York and standing on the sideline. I think it was with the Colts at the time, and standing on the sideline and just noticing the sort of curvature of the field, like it was kind of, you know, bubbled up, right? And watching the heat rise off of the turf and then out of the tunnel all greased up was Bruce Smith. And he just felt his stomach drop just watching him through the, you know, the heat rays coming off of the turf there. That's the story.
It was terrifying. You know, I'm standing there. I see Bruce come down out of the tunnel, and not just Bruce, but you got Daryl Talley, you got Cornelius Bennett, you know, Jim Kelly, one of my heroes, comes running out, and he was at least nice enough to come over and pat me on the butt, and say good luck, Rook. I was like, oh, thank you, Mr. Kelly. You know, can I have your autograph after the game? But yeah, I mean, it was pretty terrifying. And then Bruce put. He was the one that gave me my welcome to the NFL hit.
Uh-oh.
One of those hits that today he would have been fined and thrown out of the game and jail for. And instead, then it was just a legal hit where he put his helmet right between my shoulder blades and they had it in slow-mo. It was a good enough hit that I was the star of his Nike commercial the next year. it was crazy stuff, man. So, you know, if Drake's ready for that, then they throw him in. If he's not ready for that, then they don't.
Drew Bledsoe here on the Rich Eisen Show. You got a question for him, TJ, before we get to his business?
Yeah, just real quick. Hey, Drew, I can remember reading a story in Sports Illustrated about you. First or second season in the league, and I want to make sure I have this right. Is it true that after you got your signing bonus and signed your contract, you and your little brother would drive around to different banks and check your ATM and just kind of marvel at how much money you had in there? You went from having like $6 to a couple commas in there. Is that how the story goes?
Yeah, it's like that. Yeah, because it was the same bank account that I had in college, right? Which, you know, you would call and it would give you the automated, you know, your balance is negative $17 before this. And instead, you know, the first installment of my signing bonus was like a million and something. And so I called my brother, who was in what, eighth grade or ninth grade at the time. And I told him, like, dude, you got to call this number and you know, call it like your same automated voice that gave you the negative balance, that your balance is 1 million. Like, dude, it was.
I'd have done the same thing. I would have done the same exact thing. You're good people, Drew Bledsoe. All right, so what are you doing for NFL kickoff and Sunday Ticket on YouTube TV?
Yeah, you know, so FanDuel is the partnership. You know, and I've stayed away from the gaming space, you know, Rich. I figure I'm already invested in one vice with our winery, so, you know, don't want to promote another vice, but I do appreciate the fact that FanDuel is promoting responsible gaming. You know, this is supposed to be an entertainment thing. It's not supposed to be something that you gamble money that matters. And so they're really embracing that, and that makes me feel comfortable about it. But their promo is really cool. All you got to do is go place a $5 bet, and you get 3 free weeks of Sunday Ticket on YouTube and YouTube TV. You know, and I've been a fan of that move that the NFL made to go over there, just simply because it's a great platform and it always works. You know, I don't mind paying for these streaming platforms, but I want it to work. And that one seems to work really well. So yeah, pretty cool deal. You know, get a place one bet and you get 3 free weeks of Sunday Ticket.
Well, I'm sure you know the joke, but I'll repeat it anyway. The one that I heard about how to make a small fortune in the wine business. You've heard that joke, Drew?
Start with a large fortune. That's yeah, it. Exactly.
That's it. That's the.
Yeah.
That's exactly. That's the one.
It only took us 7 years to make our first dollar. So you know, we're pretty proud of that. But now it's turned into a good business, and we've got a great team. They're kicking butt for us year after year, and it's actually become a good business for us. But it certainly doesn't happen quickly.
Pinots, what do we got? What do we got?
You know, mostly Cabernet. What we're based on. But we're also making some Pinot Noir in the Willamette Valley in Oregon. And then we've got some Chardonnay, we've got some Syrah, we've got a lot of different wines across the board, but the business is based primarily on Cabernet and some Pinot Noir.
Okay. Well, I mean, what's the label's name, Drew? What is it?
Doubleback. Doubleback is the OG. That was the first one. And it's called Doubleback, not because we named it after Tom looking in the mirror, but it's actually named that because I grew up in Walla Walla. And I got to go play in the NFL for a bunch of years. And after I was done, doubled back and came back to my hometown. Uh-huh. So the story is about returning home and building something cool in my little tiny hometown.
BledsoeWineEstates.com for double back and everything else. Fantastic. I do like that. And I like the last minute dig at Brady. You know, I kind of dig that too. Drew, well done.
Got to keep throwing blows. You can't just swing once. You got to keep swinging.
I like it. You know, once you start roasting, you can't stop. It was great to see you up there, man. And seriously, when you said, you know, you have to show that you can make fun of yourself, you know, for tone setters, because that's what roasts are about. You have to set a tone. That's why Kevin Hart went hard the minute he started talking last night, because as a roast master, you gotta go hard and let everybody on the stage fill in behind you. But the cold open of the broadcast, where Belichick is there benching you for Brady, was really a tone setter, where it's just like, okay, everything is fair game tonight. This is a third rail subject. Your game, Belichick's there, you're there, he's there. Perfect tone setter, man. That was great.
Yeah, it worked out good, man. And then, you know, Kevin and then Jeff Ross, you know, I was kind of worried, like, am I going too hard on this stuff? And then they came out and they went so hard earlier, like, oh, yeah, my stuff's totally PG compared to where they went. And so that made it more comfortable as well.
And then Nikki Glaser came out and the whole roof caved in pretty much. So
it's unbelievable. And she's such a sweetheart. You know, we spent some time at the after party and she's the nicest person. She introduced me to her boyfriend that she made that awful joke about. And I was like, dude, you need a hug. Like that was written. And he's like, no, I actually helped write that joke. Like, okay. All right. You know, you're cool with it, I guess. But she's just an incredibly sweet person. But on stage, she is an absolute killer. She was incredible.
Drew, thanks for the time, man. Let's do this more often. Congrats on everything going on with your pal.
Appreciate you, Rich.
You got it. That's Patriots Hall of Famer Drew Bledsoe right here on the Rich Eisen Show. There he goes. There he goes. All right, let's take a break. There's breaking news out of Denver. Ooh. And also breaking news out of our control room.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. What we discussed about maybe doing, we're going to do next. Let's talk about Sleep Number, people. We all know in the NFL there's no margin for error. A single mistake can change the outcome of a game. We all know that. And proven quality sleep, yeah, believe it or not, can boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall performance. You know that probably in your real life. The same thing goes in the National Football League, which is why Sleep Number is, in fact, the sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League. Partnering since 2018, 8 out of 10 players have a Sleep Number smart bed. You should too. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70, just 10 numbers apart, but it is the world of difference because being able to adjust your bed's firmness after working out for recovery, that is game changing. So right now, during Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, you can save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed plus special financing for a limited time only at a Sleep Number store, or you can go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League. See store for details. Let's talk about game time tickets, people. We've been talking about it actually for months here on the Rich Eisen Show and our Rich Eisen podcasts. But guess what? There's something new to tell you about Game Time. There's a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. Yet another way that Game Time makes things easier for you when you're looking for tickets to anything in your area. With the new Game Time Picks, it's curation easier to save more on sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. And with the all-in pricing feature, which is my favorite, you get to see the total up front, so there's no surprise fees at Game Time checkout. And with Game Time, you always get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time's going to credit you 110% of the difference. Plus, your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. Take the guesswork out of buying concert tickets in particular with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. A moment, if I may. The latest example of my wife being awesome. Susie presented me with this T-shirt. I don't know where she got it. But it's a Merchant versus Mayweather T-shirt.
Yeah, we knew about
that. I was 50 years younger, and I'd kick your ass.
You knew about this?
Yeah, she was texting us if we also wanted one, and I was like, all set. One for the studio is fine.
When Jim was in the chair,
she
found him that day.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, this one's for the studio.
I was like, one for the studio.
Come on.
We're good.
Look at this. You wouldn't want to wear this shirt?
What am I going to wear that for?
I mean, I
she got one for the studio and one for me. I will wear this around.
Great. There you go.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
Mayweather versus
I mean, he most definitely would not at 50 years younger, but you know.
We don't know what type of Larry had back then.
Yeah, but I know that, I know Floyd, so I don't think that would.
Floyd plays defense.
Well, that's the object of boxing.
I love this.
It's not to get hit.
I don't know where we put it. Where do we put it? Gotta hang
on the couch.
Yeah, we'll hang it somewhere. We'll figure it out.
There it is. Mayweather versus Merchant. It says Saturday, September 17th, 1961. I don't understand that.
Oh, he would have been 50 years younger.
Oh, I see. Fantastic. They actually subtracted 50 years from the day he said it.
Yeah.
joke. That's funny.
That is great.
Now I get it. Get it live on pay-per-view.
I love it.
If he was, so they subtracted. So then I guess it was 2011 when he said it.
That was after Floyd beat Victor Ortiz.
Oh, that is fantastic. If I was 50.
And if you remember that genius, fight, Ortiz man. Turned Perfect. His back on.
Genius.
Put his guard down.
Put his guard down. And Floyd, and Floyd knocked him out.
Protect yourself at all times, people.
Nothing but love for Susie Schuster. Okay, so we're back here on the Rich Eisen Show. One big happy family back here together. What a show we have had.
What a show.
Simulcasting with McAfee, chit-chatting with Levitard, Drew Bledsoe. You never heard that joke before? How do you make a small fortune in the wine business? You started with a large fortune.
Years ago. And Rich, you know, the question I asked Drew, think about one day you're a college kid with negative $17 in your bank account, and then the next day, $1.5 million.
That's it. Keep calling up.
I would call that thing 10 times an hour.
All right, everybody.
Here it comes. And Maria, I see.
Breaking news.
All right. Out of Denver. Bo Nix is the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos. It's Bo time.
Bo time.
I like it. I like it. Sean Payton named Bo Nix the starting quarterback.
On the count of three, Bo.
Said it wasn't anything that Jared or Zach Wilson didn't do. It's just what this kid is doing. And listen, they drafted him 12th overall.
Gotta play.
How about that? So we will have three starting rookie quarterbacks in week number one. Oof. And Bo Nix, and he's going to get his start in Seattle.
Oh.
How about that for week one? Bo Nix in Seattle. That's where Denver starts the season. And then home for the Steelers. And then at the Bucs and at the Jets. Three of his first four will be on the road. Home for the Raiders and Chargers after that. That's your Broncos schedule. And that's what Bo Nix will be doing. And it'll be Bo Nix in New Orleans for Sean Payton. In his return to the Saints.
I like it.
That's a tough
score. It'll be the guy who, you know, I guess what he's got the... Anytime Sean Payton twitches in the direction of a quarterback, he's got very Drew Brees-like qualities. So, there you go. So, rookie quarterback Gardner Minshew... And that's half of your AFC West, Mahomes and Herbert, the other. And they hope that Nix can be that guy. We shall see. Now the Patriots are on the clock. Is Drake May going to go? Because J.J. McCarthy, as you know, is out. And
Steelers also on the clock.
I'm talking about rookie quarterbacks. But, Michael Penix Jr. isn't starting the rest of the preseason. He's not playing the rest of the preseason. So it's going to be Cousins.
And Kirk told us yesterday.
Yeah, it's going to be him.
He's ready to go.
Right. But. And that's your, what do we call it? The Rattler six? Spencer Rattler was the seventh quarterback.
He was the seventh?
Yeah. 18 years from now.
Yeah. Those six guys were taken, and then Spencer Rattler went in the fifth round. No quarterbacks between the first dozen picks and the fifth round of the draft in Detroit.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
We'll never see that again, right?
Probably not.
What if I told you six quarterbacks were taken?
The Rattlers. Should we call them the Rattler Six?
I do like that.
Do you like that?
I do think that's pretty funny.
That's a good fantasy.
Coming up on Roku Sports.
The Rattler Six. Yeah. Here's Sean Payton on the decision.
I want to talk real quick about the quarterback position. You guys have been real patient. I understand, you know, and respect that process for you. And for us, we've had a process. So, look. Bo Nix is going to be our starting quarterback. I felt like, and I said this to you guys 2 weeks ago, you know, that room has been outstanding. You know, Stidham, certainly with his experience, and then, you know, being able to work with Zach Wilson, all three of those guys. We've got some tough decisions as we get into the roster. I don't want to get into all the other roster battles. That's not for today. But Bo will start.
Congrats to him, man. 61 career starts in college, Auburn and Oregon. And go figure that. He's a week one starter as a rookie in the National Football League for Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos. Words that I don't think anybody would have said when Bo Nix was in Auburn. Right? So it's amazing how things happen.
Congrats to him, man.
Let's finish up this way. Chris Brockman keeps slagging on the Los Angeles sports fans that the Chargers aren't going to have fans there and whatever. And he's the one who sells his tickets for the Rams all the time.
I mean, unbelievable. Right?
That is a mischaracterization, but it fits your narrative. So, I'm not going to push back.
As long as you're pushing back on that, we have put together, thanks to Mike Hoskins, the Rams home schedule. I need music, please.
Give me music, please.
TJ, you and I will now play not the win-loss game. We will play the sell or go game for each of these guys. And you can't say anything.
Okay, okay.
TJ,
okay.
Home for San Francisco. I say Del Tufo goes, and I think they both go.
I say, Rich, Niners fans, they're insane. They're crazy. They're close. There's too much money to be made there. They're going to sell those things.
Oh, okay.
Too much money.
Okay. Next up, home for Green Bay. Oh, Del Tufo. They're selling.
Well, here's the deal.
I'm an owner.
Rich, Mike is part owner.
No. They're selling.
I feel it would look bad if he sold the tickets, but regardless, he's going to sell them anyway. Chris, no reason for him to go to that game. Two more sales.
Hold on a minute. Let's just make it easy. He's going to the San Francisco game, and he is selling the rest. He is selling the rest.
But Del Tufo or me?
You are. You are. Let's make this easier. He goes to San Francisco, and then he sells the rest.
Week three.
The only question is, does he take Liz or Hoskins to the Buffalo game? And Del Tufo?
Neither.
Del Tufo, I think you go to San Francisco, and you sell. You definitely... You go to Buffalo. You're going to go to Buffalo, and then you sell the rest. You're going to two games.
No. I'm going to go to Thursday and Monday.
You're going to a Thursday night game against Minnesota.
100%.
Yeah, I can see Thursday.
Because I can heckle my friend Carissa Thompson, who sets right in front of me.
And it's really the only day you can't go.
She won't hear a word you're saying.
I gave tickets to people
She's
last year.
She's got ears in, and there's thousands of people screaming at her. She won't hear it. She won't hear a word you're saying.
100% I will.
From your seat?
I'll have her. I'm going to get a pass for that game. I'm going to that game.
Mike?
I already have someone I'm taking.
So you're going to three of the games?
At least three.
Okay. Chris?
Great question.
Uh-oh.
It's hard.
Are you even going to go to San Francisco?
Yes, because my mom is visiting us again.
So I'm right about that.
I know about that.
And then you're selling the rest. You will see. You normally say to anybody when you're going to a game, come say hi, I'll buy you a beer. You'll say, go to the secondary ticket market, I'll say hello.
Here's the thing. I do go to the prime. Sunday games are tough to go to. I go to the primetime games.
You're going to go to the Monday night against Miami?
And Thursday. Thursday.
No, Michael definitely go to Thursday. I think Chris 100%. Will too.
Sunday against Philly? Okay.
Monday night, you got to kind of go to Monday night.
I say he goes to one, sells the rest. Oh. I say to Del Tufo goes to two, sells the rest. You say?
I say between the three of them, they go to three games.
Total?
Between the two of you, three times.
That's not
good. Sell or go game. I love it.
The disrespect is real.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Tucker Carlson, what is it that you think that people gravitate
I'm not
towards?
Self-aware. I refuse to be self-aware. I don't even look in mirrors at all, which you can probably tell from my appearance. I don't have a crazy high IQ, or I really don't have that many skills. I would say my main skill is I believe my instincts. I don't hesitate to follow my instincts, ever. The extent that I have gotten in trouble.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.